Hi friends, welcome to another episode of The Media Matters. I'm your host Chantel, and tonight I have a fun and out of the norm kind of episode for you, and I hope you guys enjoy it. It's the season of pumpkin and spooky everything, and I love it. You guys know October is my jam, and I love making it an extra fun content kind of month. So how are we doing that tonight? With a Q&A episode, of course. But before we do, major thanks to everyone that's hanging with me on social media, everyone rating, subscribing, reviewing, emailing, and everything in between. Hang with me on Twitter and Snapchat at Media Matters, on Instagram and Facebook at The Media Matters, on email at themediamatters@gmail.com, on the show site at themediamatters.com, or anywhere really, because you guys know I'm all things energy and I'm always with you. Make sure you post a screenshot of you listening to any Media Matters episode on your favorite podcast app. Tag me in your post and I will shout you out like a boss. And don't forget to turn on your notifications and be the first to see new posts from me and the show. Haven't checked out the site yet? It's up and has show notes and the backlog of episodes with a lot more to come very soon. And because so many of you have asked about my favorite things, I now have an Amazon store that you can check out too. It has all kinds of goodies that I use on the regular. You can check it out at amazon.com/shop/Media Matters, and I will make sure to link it in the show notes for you. It's the haunting Halloween season, and I'm celebrating by reading all of your ghost stories and listening to them too, because you guys are calling in and I am having so much fun. It is never too late to submit your real life ghost story. Make sure you jot it down and email it to me at themediamatters@gmail.com. Send it via DM on one of the show's social media pages, or hello, just call the show. That's right, you guys. You can leave it on the show's voicemail at 850-203-0118 to be part of all this fun. I will personally read and reply to your email or DM and contact you to make arrangements for you to tell your real life ghost story right here on the show. And remember, there's zero pressure. If you guys prefer that I read your story on your behalf, that is a-okay with me. This is just good, clean, scary fun. Would you rather talk than write? Yeah, I totally feel you. Call the show at 850-203-0118, leave your name, the state you're calling from, and let your ghost story roll. These messages will be played on the air, so make sure you let me know if you prefer to keep it private. So go ahead and stretch, warm up your dialing fingers, and start paressing. Want exclusive goodies like bonus episodes, behind-the-scenes chats, all things haunted, dolls, and more at your fingertips? JK, you guys, I don't know which is worse, haunted dolls or Ouija boards. I'll take none of the above, kindly sir. Join our super kick-ass, super exclusive family on Patreon and get immediate access to so much fun. Check out the show at patreon.com/themediamatters and join us today and forever. What's better than a gold star on the chalkboard? Why, 5 stars, of course. Post your rating and review for your favorite shows anywhere you listen to your podcasts and make sure your faves get seen and see how much you love them. In the last episode, we got to hang out with our friend Shay, and it was such a blast, you guys. She is seriously one of the kindest, most thoughtful people I know, and I feel so lucky to know her. If you listened to the episode, which I hope you did, you know Shay is intuitive and does tarot readings, among all kinds of other things. Because she's such a great friend to the show, she is offering up a super exclusive deal to all Media Matters friends. That's right. Reach out to Shay on Instagram at The Ornery Oracle or via email at OrneryOracle731@gmail.com. Let her know the name of the show and the episode you listened to that included her special, and you, my friends, will receive $10 off your personal tarot reading. That's right. You get $10 off of your tarot reading just for contacting Shay and telling her you listened to episode blah-bitty blah of The Media Matters, and your whole world will spin right round. That's right, baby, right round. Without further ado, let's get down with this week's Can't Resist Crystal, which is the one and only blue goldstone. And if you guys haven't seen this crystal, it is so pretty. It is like a dark blue with these gold flecks, and it just looks ridiculously pretty. From Cassandra Eason's The Complete Crystal Handbook, blue goldstone is one great stone for the throat, the third eye, and the crown chakras. Blue goldstone is the crystal for anyone interested in astrology or astronomy. Wear or carry this sparkly piece for a few months and you will find it will help you to understand underlying patterns in your life and how to avoid repeating old mistakes and the kind of relationships that make you unhappy. Nobody wants that, guys. Nobody wants that. Gradually, you'll become luckier in small but significant ways. breathe into goldstone or goldstone jewelry on a starry night and whisper your wish into it. That sounds incredibly magical. Carry it with you at all times and re-empower whenever the stars are bright. For more on blue goldstone, make sure you check out Cassandra Eason's book, The Complete Crystal Handbook, which I'll make sure I link in the show notes for you. You can also find information on blue goldstone using any resource that resonates with you. It is time to sit in the reading circle and get this party started. We're diving deep, guys, like real deep. So over the course of the podcast, which it's been like over 2 years now, I have received all kinds of different questions via email, social media, whatevs. And there are a lot of personal questions and there are questions that pertain to podcasting. There are questions that pertain to energy work. So there's a little mixture in here. This is definitely not every single question that I have ever received. I just chose at random and tried to go back as far as I could. So this is what we have. Here we go. Because we haven't done anything like this before. So when we do the episodes, we get to the topic, we research the topic, we talk about the topic in between. Every now and then, almost every episode, we get like way off topic and talk about something else. And hopefully it ties in to the actual topic. I don't know. Doesn't always happen that way, but we don't often get the chance to be super personal and tell you guys about ourselves. And I mean that for me, any guests that we have on the show, like Marie or our friends to the show that come on and do their ghost stories or whatever the case. So this is a cool opportunity to talk about some of that stuff, answer some of your questions, and I will do these episodes as many times as you guys want. So keep your questions coming and we will do this on a more regular basis because I kind of feel like it's long overdue. So here we go, in no particular order. How many dragons do you have and why do you call them dragons? This is a good question. So I presently have 3 dragons and I am a gigantic fan of Game of Thrones and started calling them my dragons mostly because I can't have actual dragons of my own. And honestly, these guys can be pretty dragony when they want to be. So it just seemed really fitting. And why I didn't think of it before I had ever watched Game of Thrones is far beyond me. So I do have 3. I have 2 boxer mix girls and a lab boy, and they are all mega, mega delicious. So this question is very personal, but I'm going to answer it anyway. So and keep in mind that these questions, like, I have pared them way down. Some of them, a lot of them come with long emails or whatever the case. So I've pared them way down to try to save some time. Maybe we'll see. You haven't talked about your husband in a long time. Are you still married? So I super love you guys and I'm going to keep it real all the time. So, and just keep that in mind because there is stuff coming later, like not in this episode, but other projects I'm working on and it'll all make sense. So to answer this question, and because I went off on a tangent, see what happens. I start talking and then, okay. So to reiterate the question, you haven't talked about your husband in a long time. Are you still married? I was married. I am not anymore. We divorced a year ago. I don't remember. We are friends. We're on very good terms. That relationship was not where we were supposed to be. The universe had other things in store for us. But definitely no fear, like have no fear. I am very good. I'm very happy and getting happier by the day. Yeah, it just, it did what it was supposed to do. Like every single relationship, and that's true for an intimate relationship, like, somebody that you're with that you love and you're, you know, in a committed relationship. That's true in friendships. It's true in parent-child relationships, you know, cousin-cousin relationship, like every single relationship. They have ups and downs and growth spurts and all kinds of stuff. And some relationships are in your life for a certain period of time. And, you know, some are there for the long haul. And yeah, this one was not meant to be as a marriage, and that's okay. We're both really good and we're happy for each other and we support each other and it is what it is. So to go with this question is, are you in a relationship? And yes, I am. I am in a very committed relationship. I'm in a very happy relationship. I am like over the moon happy, like whatever is over the moon and still good, like on a good vibration, that's where I am. So I am very, very happy. That is no knock on my ex-husband, not at all, or any previous relationship that I've had. This is a very separate situation, as you guys know, like we've all been in a lot of relationships. So yeah, I'm super happy. I have a fantastic guy in my world, and like I don't even know if I could love him more. I really don't. Like, he is so mega amazing. I don't know what I did to deserve him. So thank you, universe. Okay, so moving on. You've said you're Dominican. Is that all you are? And do you speak Spanish? Okay, so my family comes from the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico, but I was born here in the US of A. I was born in New York. I speak English, obviously. I also am fluent in Spanish. And, you know, on occasion, I can speak British, Australian, and often a very tired, slangy version of English. That's not very clear. So when I'm extra tired, like, doesn't matter what language I'm speaking, you can't understand me. How tall are you? I shrink and grow. I'm anywhere between 5'2 and 5'3, so not very tall. In my mind, I'm like 5'8, but in everyone else's mind and eyes, like anyone that has vision can clearly see I am not that tall. Okay, what do you do when you're mad? I assume this means, how do I handle my anger? It depends on a lot of things. Many factors are at play. If I'm in my car, I may cuss up a storm as loud as I can and get it out of my system. If I wake up in a bad mood, I try to release it at the gym that morning. If I'm at home and have time on my hands, I will start cleaning and follow that with smudging the house. I mean, it really depends. I think, like most people, I don't like to be mad. I don't like to be in a bad mood. Like, there are times when I can get mad like very quickly, and it just depends on a lot of things. If I'm very tired, my fuse is a lot shorter than if I'm well rested. If I've been eating crappy, then I just am not balanced. I mean, there's so many different factors, but I don't like to be mad. I don't like to stay mad. I know sometimes it's healthy just to like feel it and get it out. You know what I mean? Like, feel it, get it out. Don't live there. Don't live in that space. So I assume that's what that question means. And it really just, it's kind of a vague question. So I don't know if you mean energetically or what, but energetically, I would just say I don't take up residence in that space. And I try to get it out of my system as quickly as I can and in a very healthy and responsible way. Moving right along. What equipment is essential to podcasting? Well, that's really up to you. Honestly, work with what you have and upgrade to bigger and better when you can. This can become an expensive side hustle very, very quickly. You can do everything from your phone, tablet, laptop, whatever, if need be. Like, that's really true. You also have to consider if your show will be a one-person deal or multi-person situation, because that will change things. So I would say you need, or it would be helpful to have a microphone, a recorder, an SD card, cables to hook everything up and make it work together. If you're recording directly into a phone, tablet, laptop, then that changes. I mean, it really depends. Like, it's, you can answer that question in so many different ways. I think the best thing I can say is work with what you have. Work with what you have and then work your way up from there. You know what I mean? Like, don't jump into really expensive stuff that you don't know how to use, because if you don't know how to use it, it's not going to make your show sound any better. So really get to know the basics and then work up from there. What kind of equipment do you use to do your podcast? I use a Zoom H6 as my recorder, SD cards to hold the audio, Shure SM58 dynamic microphones, XLR cables to connect the mics to the recorder. I use a RAV power battery to connect to my recorder. And that is so that I don't have to worry about actual batteries inside the recorder like burning out, especially when I'm in the middle of recording. And I also use Sony headphones and other little things like little cables and adapters. But that's the gist of what I use. I've seen a few videos of you talking about the show and I really like those. Do you plan on doing more? And if so, when? So I assume the videos that you're referring to are social media videos like Instagram stories and whatnot. And those are a lot of fun to make. It's hard for me to make them because if I'm at home, my dogs like to be chatty, one in particular, or they like to roam around. And we have hard floors, so when they walk around, like, you just hear all these little nails. So some of you guys, if you're on Instagram with me, have seen one video in particular when I was talking about the tarot readings that we were doing in the month of August, I believe it was. And I was trying to do a video on, like, hey, there's X amount of days left. And every time I tried to do it, one of our dogs was like barking her head off, and just like, it was like she is right now, if you guys can hear that in the background. So it was super frustrating. And so what I ended up posting was just like one of the bits of video where I'm trying to record and she keeps barking over me. So I was just sitting there like rolling my eyes. So I really do like doing those for you guys. I will try to do more of them, and they will likely be like Instagram stories. But if there's anything specific you guys would like to see, just make sure you let me know, so I am giving you guys what you want. If you want to see like my day, let me know and I will record that for you. If you want to see me like smudging a room, smudging my house, let me know. If you want to see me meditate, like whatever it is, just let me know and I'll make sure that I include that. Do you like podcasting? And if so, would you recommend it? Yes, I like it very much. I started this, as most of you guys know, if you're not new to the show, if you're OG, you know exactly, you know, the story behind this. But for anybody new, I definitely recommend it. I started this show because I have had experiences, as far as I can remember, with paranormal activity, just things, you know, that go bump in the night, things that really scared me that I just didn't understand. And I, several years back, got into Reiki, which is energy work. And that really opened a lot of doors for me and helped to answer a lot of questions. It also created a crap ton of questions. And so the purpose of the show was to, number one, like bring both of those sides together, like the positive energy work and then the darker, scarier stuff, and make it come together in such a way that is not boring. It's, you know, kind of funny, and it just like takes some of the mystery out of it. Like, it just doesn't have to be that way. You know what I mean? So the intent of it was to answer questions, to make it fun, to bring them together, because it's all energy and it all goes together. So did I go off on a tangent there? I don't know. I hope not. But do you like podcasting? And if so, would you recommend it? Yes, I do like podcasting. I would recommend it. You really need to decide what you're podcasting for. Is it for fun? Is it just a hobby? Or do you plan to do something with this? Do you want to take it to like a full-time gig? So it really depends. And I think it's incredibly important to know that up front. And if it's just a hobby and you're doing it for fun, you're not investing a lot of money, you're not worried about money, then, you know, go in. However, if you want to make this a full-time gig, also go hard. Like, you know, it's your jam. Just know what you're getting into, and you have to decide up front what you're willing to give, how much you're willing to commit to doing this, and if you plan on being consistent. I mean, there's so much that goes into it. So if you're on the fence about it, I would say give it a try. Worst that's going to happen is you're not going to succeed. And honestly, like, that's not a failure in my eyes. You can't possibly know the outcome of something until you do it. So I say do it. Is there anything you would change about your podcast? Off the top of my head, I would say no. I've gone back and forth a few times, not lately, but in the past, I've gone back and forth about maybe going back to the earlier episodes or some of the episodes where the sound quality was not great for one reason or another, and re-editing them, trying to fix them, or, you know, just things along those lines. And ultimately, what I decided is to leave it alone, because that's real. Like, that's how things were at that time. And it really helps me to gauge my growth that way. So if I can go back and listen to things in season one, like episodes in season one, and really just listen to the sound and listen to the style and see how it's grown, that tells me a lot. So I want to leave it alone. There is one thing that I really would like to change, and I know there's nothing I can do about that now, but the two times that I have been called to work out of state, both of those times it was very, very fast and I didn't have time to do anything. So anytime I thought about jumping on like social media or doing something and saying, hey guys, I'm so sorry, but I've been called away to work and I don't know how long I'm going to be. Anytime I thought about doing that, I would get sidetracked and pulled into something else that would take like hours to complete. And by the time I was done with that, it was onto something else or working on that and like three other things at the same time. So I really wish that I had either asked someone to help me with that or found another way to just let you guys know that I was going to have to take some time off from the show unexpectedly. And, you know, it just bummed me out both times that I wasn't able to do that. So that's one thing that I would definitely change. I can't, but I wish I could. Other than podcasting, is there anything else you want to do as a creator? Yes, there's a lot I want to do as a creator. There's stuff that I'm working on, stuff that I've been working on, stuff that I have thought about for a long time that I am finally bringing into fruition. I feel like my words are escaping me tonight. But there is other stuff that I am working on that I'm not going to talk about right now because I just want to work on it without pressure, if you know what I mean. So once it's done and ready to go, I will make sure I let you guys know. But there is other stuff that's coming and I'm super excited for it. I have really dreamed about doing these other things for a long time. And it seems like the stars are aligning and I will be able to make this stuff go live pretty soon. So very excited. Be on the lookout for that stuff coming soon. How did you choose the name for your show? Oh, that's a good question. So I threw several different names around. I wish I could find the scraps of paper and stuff where I wrote the stuff down, but I want to say all of them centered around medium, and medium being, you know, clairvoyant, intuitive, and being able to connect with beings on the other side, whatever side that is. And so the name that I finally chose, and it was, you know, with help from friends and family and whatever, was the Medium Matters. And it's the matters of the medium. It's the matters of energy work. It's, you know, all things, matters of hauntings and matters of Reiki and matters of, so that's what it is. It's the Medium Matters. It's all of the matters that the medium has to tend to, if you will. So hopefully that is a good explanation. And if not, then it's just fun to say, I don't know. What's the scariest thing that's ever happened to you? Good question. I can't think of one uber scary thing that's happened. There have been a lot of different things that have happened and some of them that I've talked about on the show. And I feel like I always talk about the same ones and I know like so much stuff has gone down that I just can't even think of. And I think those I keep talking about because I've told them and then I tell them again, and then I tell them again. So they're just kind of at the front of my brain, but I can't think of one specific scary thing. I would say that over the years, I've had similar recurring dreams that are like, you know, ghosts or something in my dreams that are trying to get me and they're doing some really creepy things, you know, moving things and I can't see them or, but the cool thing is that in my dreams, as they have progressed and I have become more comfortable in energy work, I fight back now and that feels so good. Like you guys have no idea how good that feels for me to say or do something and cast like an energy away. It feels amazing. So amazing. I wish it worked like that in real life. When will you start doing readings again and will you do them for the public? This is a really good question and I feel like I keep saying that, but these questions are good, you guys. I'm so happy that you sent them in. So the readings, I haven't done readings for a while and let me scrap that. I haven't done readings where I'm connecting someone with their loved ones that have crossed over. I haven't done that kind of reading for a while. It's been a while. I have done other readings where I am assisting people with life decisions or life situations, life happenings, if you will. There you go. Life happenings. So kind of like information you would get if you were doing a tarot reading, something like that. So I am just getting my information, not from cards or stones or anything like that, but I am getting it from spirit, from your guides, from whoever it is. And that is not typical for me. I don't typically do readings like that. And readings overall, I haven't done in a long time because I just haven't felt like I'm up for it. You know what I mean? There have been a lot of changes in my life in the last 2 years or so, maybe 2 years plus, a lot of changes. And with those changes, some of them have been super positive. Some of them have been, they've been draining. They've been very sobering and changing, like life altering changes. And they've taken a lot of my energy from me. And so I have really used this year, 2019, to bounce back and get healthy and to really put my pieces back together, if you will. And I don't mean that to sound like, you know, a woe is me or feel bad for me. Nothing like that, like nothing at all. It's been a really great lesson. It's been so wonderful to go through all of these experiences, the good ones, the bad ones, and everything in between, because it's taught me so much about myself. It's taught me so much about my belief system. I mean, all kinds of things. That said, I have put my energy work on the back burner so that I could regroup and I could get healthy and I can, you know, reassess things and prioritize things. And in the last few months, I've really been getting back into energy work and I've been just feeling like a sponge. Like I want to read everything and touch everything and watch everything and just really get back to the roots, the basics. And with that, dive in deeper into the energy work. And really, I just feel like I have so much work to do on me. And I'm at the point, pretty much, I'm almost there where I'm ready to get back into doing readings. But I really wanted to feel whole again. And I wanted to feel like I am balanced and grounded and centered. And I've got, you know, the majority of my pieces back together. Yes, I will definitely do readings again in hopefully in the near future, and I will do them for the public, for you guys, and that'll be something that'll be offered up on the show's site or wherever it's offered up, and I'll make sure that I let you guys know once I'm ready to start doing that. And I want to start small and just not feel overwhelmed by it. Energy work, it can really take a lot out of you. And so I am feeling like I am in a really good place and I'm feeling healthy, and, you know, so I don't want to disrupt that by overdoing it. So I am going to start small, but I'll make sure I let you guys know when I'm ready to kick things off and start doing readings here and there. So yeah, stay tuned. What are some of your favorite ways to raise your vibration? Another great question. There's so many different things. My dogs raise my vibration. They really do. I love animals, and I feel like they are just, you know, they're like us. They have different personalities, but their personalities are so incredible. And I think what makes them so cool is that they can't talk, you know, unless you're like intuitive and your gift or your ability is to like talk to animals, communicate with animals. But on the regular, like they can't flat out talk to us. And so it's, you know, sometimes it's like a guessing game and you're like, what mood are you in? Or what are you thinking? But I just know when I am with my dogs and their little rudders are wagging and those little eyebrows are going up and down and they're just, you know, looking at me like they understand everything I say, or they're trying to understand, or I don't know, their energy is just amazing. One of my other favorite ways to raise my vibration is just hanging with my boyfriend, because he really is my best friend and he makes me laugh so hard. Like my abs hurt. I laugh so hard and like tears rolling down the face, kind of laughing. And, you know, that's not every moment of every day for sure, but he has really chill energy and he's just a really laid back person, and just being in his presence makes me so super happy. I also love to be in the sun. I love the sunshine. I love dancing. Like I dance all the time, you guys. Like you have no idea. I am constantly dancing, especially when I'm eating something that is so good. Like I cannot stop. And I've done that since I was super little. Like my family laughs about it all the time. They're like, you never stop dancing. Like I know, because it's fun. So I love good music. And by good, I don't mean one specific genre. I just mean whatever just makes me happy. And if I'm feeling down, the last thing I really need to be doing is listening to some sad, like cry your eyes out music. who is that helping? It's not helping anybody. I need some, like, I can't even think of a song right now, but something fun that's like, you know, even some like some Drake, like, oh, Drake just does it for me. But, you know, whoever it is, Gwen Stefani, like, it doesn't matter, but something that just makes me feel good and makes me start singing and just getting out of that funk that I'm in. So there are a lot of different things, you know, that really raise my vibration. But I would say those are probably my top ways to really get out of a funk and start feeling good. How often do you smudge your house? I don't do smudging on a schedule. I really do intuitive smudging. If I feel like it's time to do some clearing out, then I will smudge my house. If I am going to do a Reiki session in my house, then I definitely smudge my house. It really depends on what I have going on. So if I've had people in my house, I'll smudge after they leave. It really just depends. If I've had a rough day, I will, you know, and I'm feeling kind of crappy or whatever, I will smudge. I'll smudge myself. I'll smudge my space because I don't want that junk in my space. So it really depends. I'm not a scheduled smudger, not by any means. I'm an intuitive smudger. What should I do if I think I have a haunting in my house? So if you think you have a haunting in your house, I would say contact the professionals. Do not try to handle it yourself, especially if you don't know what you're doing. Don't dabble in things. I've said this before on the show, like, being responsible is number one. Number two is being responsible. Number three, can you guess? Being responsible. So I can't stress that enough, you guys. Please be responsible. If you think you have something going on in your home, please contact someone that can do something about it. And you just want to be smart about it. If you are a religious smudger and you're constantly moving around your house smudging and you don't feel like that's doing anything, then it's time to move on to the bigger guns. So pretty much every city has metaphysical shops. Pretty much every city has, I mean, this is not like a hush hush thing anymore. People that have abilities, people that do paranormal investigations, like, this is wide open now, which is so cool. It's great that we live in a time like that, because that wasn't always the case. So it's not nearly as difficult to find someone to help you as it used to be. So, you know, you can contact your church, you can contact, there's so many different people. And if you need very specific resources, you can reach out to me and I would be more than happy to help you try to find someone. But you definitely want to call in someone that knows what they're doing and that's going to come in to help and not make things worse. So please do not try to handle it by yourself if you don't know what you're doing. Don't break out a Ouija board. Don't do a seance. Don't try to start doing recordings by yourself to communicate. Like, do not give it life. Please don't fuel it. Please be very careful. What's your favorite and least favorite thing about podcasting? Oh, goodness. My favorite thing, and this is not just to be funny or whatever, like, my favorite thing is you guys. Like, that is true story. Like, I super love getting to know you guys and chatting with you guys, getting your emails and hanging with you on social media. Like, that really lights up my world. And I will even add that to one of the things that raises my vibration. Like, it really does. And there are some of you that I'm in pretty constant contact with. And I mean, it's so much fun. It's so much fun getting to know you guys. It is so much fun seeing like what your day is like and what your world is like. It's just a lot of fun. It's been definitely my favorite thing. Least favorite thing about podcasting. Off the top of my head, I would say there are times when your audio just is against you, or the equipment. That's a better way to put it. The equipment is against you. And I had this experience recently where I edited like a 2-hour episode, and this was a Patreon episode, and I was trying to post it, and like, I seriously was on the verge of crying. Like, I had so many issues, and I ended up having to re-edit the entire episode. And like, it took me so long because, number one, it was a long episode. Number two, it was a long episode. Number three, I was working with people that don't do this on the regular, so there was a lot of movement, a lot of background noise. In addition to sounds I heard when I was editing that were not there when we were recording. So just craziness. So that one of those things, like, that's, I have to say, my least favorite is sometimes you don't know your stuff is not working or it's not going to work out. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, there was one other time where I was looking for an episode that Marie and I had recorded and I was going to edit it and I couldn't find it. And I started to panic because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of time and a lot of work that goes into an episode. And I had to research for hours on how to find like a hidden file. And I don't remember what it was. Like, it was corrupt or something. Like, I don't remember. But thank you, Google. I ended up finding it. I figured out how to fix it and retrieve it. And I did. And no one was the wiser. So my favorite is you guys. My least favorite is the uncertainty of technology. That is it. Okay, how long does it take to do one episode of your show? I'll answer this based off of a typical episode. If I'm working with like an hour episode, and I mean an hour or so of raw content. So that is like it hasn't been edited, nothing. So to do that one episode from research all the way through posting it, it's easily 4 to 6 hours, maybe more like 6 to 8 hours. And that's because there's time to do the research. I need that time. I put the show notes together while I'm researching and we do the actual recording and then I do the editing. And when I do the editing, I put music into it and I have to cut things out, like background noises, and I, you know, and sometimes you can't tell, you're like, this episode sounds like crap, and trust me, it sounds probably 20 times better than it did when it was raw, I promise you. So even the ones that don't sound like they're good, they sound a lot better than they did to begin with. So I go through all that and I do the editing and I add the music and all of that good stuff, and then I have to do the show notes that get posted for you guys. So you guys don't see all the notes that I have. So I do all of that and I post it to the podcast provider that I am with, and they post it out to the other sources for me, like iHeartRadio, iTunes, Google Podcasts, and what have you. And then I work on the teasers. I work on graphics. I work on social media posts. I work on all that stuff. So it can take anywhere from 4 to 8 hours to do one episode, just one. Maybe that gives you a better idea of why I panic so much when I think something isn't working, or when I have taken the time to put so much work, so much time and energy into an episode and I end up having to redo it, or like now you might get a better picture, a better idea. So yeah, it takes a while. And definitely not a complaint of mine. I love working on the show. I love that it's mine, whether it fails or it succeeds. That's all on me. And I'm good with that. I am totally good with that. And yeah, so hopefully I answered that well. What are some things we don't know about you? Oh, gosh, probably a lot of stuff. But I've had stitches twice. I love to dance, which I told you guys. I dance when I eat, which I told you guys. I love scary movies, which you guys know. So I'm not answering this question very well. Some things we don't know about you. So I have had stitches twice. I love getting my nails done. Let's see. I definitely don't stretch as often as I should. I definitely do not. I have a newfound respect for celery juice. I don't like celery. I can't stand celery. However, I have been drinking celery juice for a few months now and it has done wonders, wonders. But more on that another time, like not in this episode. That's how I get off on tangents. What else? My studio is not quite put together. I do have a better situation right now, but it's not quite put together. It's definitely not where I want it to be, but it's not where it was. So, you know, I don't like to tie my sneakers. I just don't, like, I've never enjoyed dyeing my sneakers. And so now I just don't. I just don't, unless like I'm at work or something. But if I'm working, I usually have work boots on. So no big deal on that. My first car was a Honda Prelude, which I super loved. And I did not have it very long because someone ran into me and totaled it. Like, it for real was not my fault. an expedition ran a stop sign and hit the front of my car and it totaled it. Like, it wasn't to look at it. It wasn't even that bad. But yeah, it was totaled. And I was bummed about that. My first job was at Mrs. Fields Cookies. If you guys know that place, like, it's so good. And my second job was at Baskin Robbins. And that is, like, hands down one of my favorite jobs I've ever had. It was so much fun. I loved it. So that's like a few things that you guys did not know about me. Some things you didn't know. When do you do your best work, in the morning or in the evening? I do my very best work in the morning. I feel like the earlier I can get started, definitely the more productive I am. I like to start early and finish early. I have always been a morning person. I love it. And if I'm the first, well, I'm usually the first to be awake in my house, not including the dragons. And I love when the house is nice and quiet and I open all the curtains, like in the living room and dining room, and the sun is streaming in, and it is just like that quiet, peaceful time with my dogs, and I'm getting their breakfast ready and getting my celery ready. And, you know, so I went way off on that. But yeah, the morning, guys. Are you using your own energy when you're performing a Reiki session? No, never, ever. And if you are, you're definitely doing it wrong. You're never using your own energy. You're using universal energy, if you will. And you, as the practitioner, you're just the conduit, just like being a medium. Like, I am not the one that's giving you the information. It's not coming from me. It's coming from someone else. So it's like your phone, you know, like your phone is, you're talking to someone through this device. Do you know what I mean? So that's what a practitioner is. That's what a medium is. There's someone on the other end or something on the other end that is giving you the information or giving you the energy you need to perform the session. So never your own energy. And if you're using your own energy, you're doing it wrong, and stop it. Just stop. You've talked about how important being responsible is in your field. What are some of your practices for being responsible? So by field, I assume you're talking about energy work. So I don't like to dabble in things. If there's something I'm interested in, I will do some research first. So, and what I mean by that is, if I wanted to say, start doing tarot reading, I wouldn't just play around by myself. I would research and I would try to find people that know what they're doing and pick their brain and learn from someone that knows what they're doing and is responsible in their practice. And part of being responsible is knowing how to protect yourself, knowing how to protect your space, because you're doing energy work and energy includes all kinds of things. So you want to be very, very, very careful. So when I do a Reiki session, for example, I do protect my space. I smudge, I use crystals, I put my shields up, I call my people in, Archangel Michael, whomever I feel is necessary. And I work from there. And sometimes someone will creep in, and that likely means that I didn't cover all of my bases. One of my auric fields may be open. I left a hole somewhere and someone slipped in. It does happen. It happens a lot. So you just want to be careful. And by responsible, I mean, don't toy around with things. Don't play around. Just don't play. Just be safe. Just be very safe. So smudging and crystals and, you know, calling in your people and putting a big bubble of protection over you, over your space, over your home, over your office, you know, that kind of stuff. Be responsible and work with people that exhibit responsible behaviors. And it's not just like, hey, let's go turn out the lights and go in this room and, you know, bust out the Ouija board and just, you know, ask Satan to show up. Like, run fast. That's not where you want to be. Run fast. How important is it to be in a good mood when you do energy work? I would say you need to be grounded. You need to be centered. And if you are both of those things, you're not likely to be in a bad mood. But when I think energy work, I'm thinking healing and that type of stuff. So I'm thinking doing Reiki on someone, doing Reiki on myself. Doing energy work could be, you know, clearing your space, your smudging, your whatever. So being in a good mood is important. However, I know there have been times, and I think I mentioned this earlier in this episode, there have been times when I have smudged myself and my house because I've been feeling crappy, I had a bad day, whatever, and I don't want to bring that into my space. So when I come in, I change clothes, put the clothes like in the hamper or whatever with the intention of they are now sealed up and that energy is not moving or whatever, like whatever I do. And I grab the sage stick and I smudge myself and then I smudge my space. So that definitely puts me in a good mood. It raises my vibration like almost immediately. So I think it is important to be in a good mood. And sometimes, you know, when I'm in that kind of mood, that is what puts me back in a good mood. But if I'm going to go do a Reiki session, I don't want to be sick when I do it. I don't want to be in a bad mood. Like I need to be in a really good headspace. So it is important. It is important. Can you tell us about anything you're working on that you haven't talked about yet? No, not because I don't want to tell you, but because I want it to be a surprise. So, and hopefully a good surprise. And I want to work on it freely without feeling pressured to release it at a certain time. Do you know what I mean? So if something doesn't work out the way I want, I can always push the launch back. I can only do that when it's at a certain point and it's not quite there yet, but it's very, very close. So I will make sure I let you guys know as soon as the stuff is ready to go. And then you too can share in the joy with me, and hopefully it is joy. What goes through your mind when you record an episode? So much, so much. So I sometimes find that I am like really excited about the topic and I forget to breathe. And so I will talk and talk and then I realize that I've been holding my breath. And so that's like something I'll edit out where I just like let out this deep breath or I take a deep breath or whatever it is. So it's stuff like that. So when I am recording an episode, it really depends. I try to be relaxed. I try to just be really chill, like kind of sit back in my chair, sometimes slouch a little bit. So I really just get in a comfortable zone. But it depends. I mean, I'm definitely thinking about the topic at hand. And when I am recording with someone, which is like 99.9% of the time, it's really fun because you're working off of each other and you feed off of each other. So that kind of helps to keep you in the zone where you need to be. But yeah, sometimes you guys, I am so excited that I forget to breathe. So I do think about a lot of different things. And because of that, sometimes I miss the opportunity to say something that I really wanted to say. Like it just totally slips my mind. And then when I'm editing, I'm like, damn it, I wish I had said this. And I'm like, oh, wait, I think I thought about it. And then I got sidetracked. So that happens a lot. Do you get nervous when you're recording? I do not get nervous anymore. At the beginning of season one, the first like easily 10 episodes is where I got to work out a lot of the nerves. Coming back for season two, I also had some nerves, but they left my system very quickly. And I thought it was going to take me longer than it did to get comfortable with the mic in my face, but it really just, it seems oddly natural. Like I've never done this before where I'm like, you know, mic in my hands all the time, but it just seemed oddly natural. So I don't get nervous anymore. I feel really comfortable and at peace when I have the microphone in my hand, you know, by my face, whatever, and I'm just going. And that is when I'm working with someone, when I'm not working with someone, you know, it doesn't really matter. But no, I don't get nervous anymore. Is it possible to absorb someone else's energy and feel really happy, really sad, etc. after spending time with them? Absolutely. Absolutely. So energy is, it can be contagious. You can pick it up. So I like to say energy is almost like you picking up germs, like someone has touched a doorknob, let's say, and they have a cold and you go touch it right after and you pick that up. That's a lot of what energy is like. I mean, that's not it. That's very basic. But yes, you can absolutely absorb someone else's feelings, the way someone else is feeling, whether that's really happy, really sad, really just whatever it is. Like you can definitely pick that up. And just consider that sometimes you walk into a room where some other people are or have been and you're like, geez, you can like cut the tension with a knife. That's energy, you guys. So you definitely, you know, don't linger in that space. Get the heck out because you can definitely absorb that. And sometimes you walk away from someone, say you've been like hanging out with a friend or whatever, and you leave or they leave and you're like, geez, I feel so exhausted because it's draining. Whatever you were talking about, whatever you were doing, it whipped you. Like it had a real effect on your energy. So yeah, you definitely want to be careful with stuff like that. And it's just good practice to make sure that you protect yourself. So you don't want to be overly happy. You don't want to be overly sad. You don't want to, you know, none of those things. You want to feel your emotions for sure. I'm not saying don't, but it needs to all be in balance, all of it. So don't take up residence in a place where you don't belong. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? What was it like to record the first episode of the show? It was nerve-wracking. I think I had the giggles. Like, I'm trying to remember what it was like. There may have been a lot of dead air at the very beginning of the recording because I was just trying to like get okay with being in front of the mic. And I was recording with Marie and Lily, I believe, for the first few episodes. And just starting off, like, it was a little embarrassing. It was a little like, what do I say? And I'm in front of my friends, and are they going to laugh because I sound dumb? And, you know, it's all those things, like, totally natural stuff. But yeah, that first episode was, I mean, I'm happy for it. I'm happy for the experience, and I'm very happy that that's not where I'm at anymore, because it would just suck to be like that for every episode. Do you have to believe in energy work in order for it to be effective? No, definitely not. Energy is not, I think I said this before, it doesn't come from me or from the practitioner. It's coming from, you know, it's universal energy, and it's doing its work whether you see it or not. And you will start to see the effects of whatever it is that you're getting the energy work for. And I kind of feel like if you're getting energy work, you believe on some level, but you don't have to be a believer. Definitely not. It's going to do its work. It is. It's like karma. You know what I mean? Like, you can't see it, but it's going to loop back around and you're going to get what you're supposed to get. So be careful. Yeah, it's kind of like that. Is your grandmother's tattoo the only tattoo you have? Man, have I talked about my grandma's tattoo? I guess I have. It is not the only one I have. I have five now. I have five tattoos, you guys. Oh my God. I recently got number 4 and 5, like very recent. Hers is not the only one, but hers was my very first one, and it is so incredibly special to me. And all of my tattoos are really special, but my grandma's, I mean, it being my first, I'm really happy that it was my first. I'm also not happy that it was my first because I obviously got it because she's not here anymore. But I always knew that I would have a tattoo, at least one. I'm really, really, really happy that I didn't get anything trendy, and I waited and got something that was incredibly special, really, really special. So I do have five of them. Do you have a different persona for your show and social media? And if so, do you recommend it and why? I do not. I am really like, what you see is what you get. And if you guys hang with me on social media, or we email back and forth, or we talk on the phone, I feel like I'm the same exact person, because to have a different persona, like, you know, a social persona or whatever, like, I don't even know what you would call that. It just seems super exhausting. Like, who has time for that? So I don't have time for that. I just want to be me all the time, because then that means I have to keep up with something else. And I definitely just don't have the energy for that. So no, I am me all the time. If I am happy me, or cranky me, or sleepy me, or like bouncing off the walls me, like, I'm just me all the time. And so when we are chatting on social media, when I'm talking to you guys on the episodes, that's me, like, all the time, all the time. How do you prepare for a reading? So I like to go into a reading by meditating first, and it could be one meditation, it could be several meditations, but that's how I like to get my information, because I go into meditation in a very protected space and very responsible, like I said before, and that's how I like to meditate. And I especially like to meditate like that when I am setting out to communicate with someone or several someones on behalf of someone else. Do you know what I mean? So if my friend Bob has asked me to do a reading for him, I first and foremost don't want any information. I don't want to know who Bob wants to connect with at all. All I need to know is I need to connect with people that are here for Bob. So I will go into meditation, and I will make sure that I am grounded and I am centered, and that I go in with the intention of connecting with those that want to communicate with Bob, and I communicate with them, get the information from them, and I relay that to Bob. So if it makes sense, fantastic. If it doesn't make sense, and by that I mean makes sense to Bob. So if it makes sense to Bob, that's fantastic. If it doesn't make sense to Bob, hopefully after he has had some time to think about it, it will mean something. And if it doesn't, then it just doesn't. All I can do is relay the information and it really just ends there. But that's how I like to do it. I have done on the spot readings before and I totally don't mind doing that. I just feel a lot more comfortable going into meditation. So that is my jam. Can you do an episode on chakras and explain what they are and how they work? Absolutely. And it's actually on the calendar for the show. So the chakra episodes, I don't know specifically when they're coming up, but they are coming up at some point. So yes, those are coming. So if you have specific questions on chakras, make sure that you let me know at themediamatters@gmail.com, on DM or via DM on one of the show's social media pages, whatever the case. And I will make sure that I include those questions and answers when we do those episodes, because it'll likely be more than one episode to make sure that we give it the proper time and attention that it deserves, because we'll likely cover the 7 main chakras, likely. So we'll see. We'll see. What is it like to talk to someone's loved one? Do you see them, hear them, or both? It's different. People come through in different ways. Sometimes I see them, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I hear them, sometimes I don't. It's a hard question to answer because it really is dependent on what they want to do and how they want to present themselves. And sometimes I can hear them audibly. Sometimes it's like the clip of a movie, like a little trailer or something where they're showing me like a little film, so to speak. And it's really just, it's almost like a flashback or something that I get to watch. And I can relay that to somebody. So it really varies, but they have their own ways of communicating. And, you know, sometimes they'll show me a picture of something and it might be like a rose and it could be to identify what their name is or that that was their favorite flower or that's the person that I'm reading for. It's their favorite flower. Or, I mean, it could really have so many different meanings. So all I can do is say, hey, they're showing me a rose, or they're showing me black doorknobs, or, you know, whatever it is. So it's really different with each being that comes through. They get to decide and I just relay the info. That's it. How often do you see ghosts and does it scare you? I wouldn't say I see ghosts all the time. I see spirit a lot. I see a lot of different beings. Some of them are earthbound. Some of them are not. Some of them are guides, some are angels, some are people that have crossed over. So I mean it really varies. So I think ghost is used interchangeably and maybe shouldn't be, but I do see a lot of different beings and I see them quite often and I just kind of get used to it. For example, I was helping a friend this weekend move some antiques from one place to another, like one physical location to a totally different physical location, and had to transport things in my Jeep. And on the last trip that we made, I turned around for whatever reason while I'm driving. I think I was going to turn or something. So I kind of looked over my shoulder, my right shoulder, and I saw a lady sitting in my back seat, and I was like, the heck? And she was just sitting there, like hands on her lap, like palms down on her lap, and looking out the window. And she was dressed in all white, like she looked like, you know, she had crossed over quite some time ago, and didn't say anything. She was just hanging out. And we got to the second location, and I asked my friend like who this lady is, and she just started laughing and said, I knew this was going to happen with all these antiques. I knew there was going to be some energy somewhere. And yeah, so why this lady was in my car, I don't know. But she pretty much said like she was in my car because she wasn't allowed in my friend's car. And so we finally figured out what she was connected to. And, you know, that was that. But yeah, like, so I had to back into this driveway and it was kind of bumpy. Like it wasn't a curb. I didn't like run over a curb. But the part of the driveway that I backed onto was just elevated a bit. And so I backed in and she legit was like, you should really learn to drive better. I was like, ma'am, I don't think so, ma'am. Just out of my car, please. So yeah, I see them quite often. And yeah, they rule everything. Like, they decide. They really decide. Are other podcasters friendly and easy to work with, or has your experience been negative? My experience with other podcasters has been super positive. In fact, they have been so welcoming and so kind and just forthcoming with their knowledge and their tips and tricks. Like, it has made me a better podcaster, I think. And it has really fueled me to keep going. Because listen, there have been times when I just thought, like, okay, I did it. I tried it. We're done. Like, experiment over. But they really have been so kind and just so uplifting. And the community overall, the podcasting community, has really, it's just really positive. It really is. And it is, like, really about encouragement and really pushing you to work hard and do your best and all of that stuff. Like, it sounds kind of cheesy, but it's been such a positive experience. And I hope if any of you guys are thinking about going into podcasting that you have the same experience, because I have met so many cool people. Some of them are from podcasts that I like to listen to, and I fangirl like crazy. I'm like, oh my God, you're talking to me? What? Yeah, like, I'm that girl. So I'm not embarrassed. I will tell you, but it's been an amazing experience. Amazing. What's your middle name? I do not have one. And people think that is the weirdest thing, but I seriously don't. There are quite a few people in my family that don't have a middle name. And it used to, like, I mean, it never bothered me. There have been times in my life where I'm like, I wish I had a middle name. For what? I don't even know, because I probably wouldn't even go by my middle name. But no, I don't have one. I have two names, a first and a last. Is your entire family intuitive? No, my entire family is not intuitive, but there are a good number of family members that are intuitive in some way, shape, or form, which is really cool. So I have family that has had experiences since they were young, and they share all of that stuff, and some that have had, you know, experiences here and there. And so, no, not the entire family, but definitely some of the family is intuitive. What song is stuck in your head? So I think, like, I don't even know where this question came from. Like, some of these questions, I'm like, where the heck? So what song is stuck in my head? I would say it's probably Sun Models by Odessa. It's like an older song, I think, but I've just been, like, listening to that song a lot. Like, it keeps coming up in my playlists and stuff. And it's a song I really like. And it just, like, it's one of those songs that just, like, will put me in a really good mood if I'm in, like, you know, if I'm on the fence or something. But I would say that's the one that's probably stuck in my head. And it doesn't help that it keeps coming up on my playlist. So maybe I need to check the song out and really feel it. Like, universe, are you trying to say something to me? I don't know. I don't know. What are some of your absolute favorite crystals? Oh my gosh, there are so many. So I will keep it brief. I would say amethyst. You guys know I am ridiculous over amethyst. I love amethyst so much, and amethyst really helped me. I mean, it's helped me a lot, but the time that stands out for me is when I was having a really hard time sleeping. There was a lot of activity going on at night for me. I was being bothered at night, touched and woken up, and, you know, the works. Like, I was so afraid to sleep. And amethyst is one of the tools that I brought in, one of the guns to help me. And I created a crystal grid under my mattress, right under where I slept. And that really helped to balance things and to protect me and to help me to sleep, because I was afraid to go to sleep. Like, I just wasn't sleeping well because I was so afraid to sleep. And when I was asleep, stuff would wake me up and it was a scene. So I loves my amethyst. I also love the dark crystals, like the tourmaline and obsidian. Like, I love them. They're such great protectors. I absolutely love those guys. I love selenite. It is like a chameleon. It can do so many different things, and it is an amplifier, and I just love it. It's one of my favorites for putting around my house for protection. for like setting boundaries. I mean, it's just great. I would say off the top of my head, another one is Angel Light. I really, really like Angel Light. And I started using Angel Light like way at the beginning of my energy work when I was trying to connect with some of my spirit guides, and it worked. It helped me to connect to those guides and to angels. And it's just, those are some, like, if I could only have certain crystals for the rest of my living days, like, it would be those that I listed. Like, I love them so much. And I, no offense to the other crystals, like, I love all of you. I really, really do. But yeah, that's, I would say those. Mm-hmm. What is your favorite food? Food, just like food in general. I just really love food. So right now, like in the last few days, I have had so much sushi. It's not even funny. I just was craving sushi. And so I have seriously eaten my body weight in sushi. And yesterday for the first time, I had a poke bowl or a poke bowl. I don't know how it's pronounced, but it doesn't even matter. It's delicious. And I had a bowl and it was so good. And it just like satisfied my soul in the craziest way. And I have been craving the most insane things lately, like the last few months, and it's all been like healthy stuff. And every time I have a craving, it seems like it's healthier. And I'm like, body, what are you doing to me? You're deceiving me. This is not what we crave. But the more time I spend working out and eating well and taking care of myself and really putting intention into getting healthy and putting my pieces back together, the more I crave healthy stuff and a healthy lifestyle. Like, it is the craziest thing. I've heard of this before. And now I am living proof, you guys. I used to be the crave a Whopper kind of girl, or crave a pizza, or a pizza and fries or something. And now I'm like, oh man, a kale salad with some hummus on the side sounds really good. Like, who is that girl? That's me, you guys. That's me. It's sad. It's sad. It's sad. What is the last thing you bought? Oh gosh, the sushi. I bought sushi. That's the last thing I bought. Sushi. Is sage your favorite herb to clear with? Yes, I love sage. I have tried some others and I didn't like the smell. And in all fairness, I didn't give them a lot of opportunity to change my mind. I just like, you know, tried to use them and I was like, oh, I can't. So I do want to try other herbs, and I really want to put some time and energy into doing some research and testing some other ones out and seeing how they work with my energy and with clearing energy and really doing what they're intended to do. So for right now, I will say sage is my favorite, but in all honesty, it's really the one that I gravitate to. So I can't really say that I absolutely don't like other ones because I haven't given them a fair chance. So yeah. Would you recommend Reiki to people trying to tap into their abilities? Yeah, definitely. I would. And it's not the only way. Definitely not the only way. You do not have to become a practitioner to get into, to tap into your abilities, but it's a good way to do it. I definitely would not say no. So just remember, you know, keep in mind, do some research. Make sure that you work with someone that is a practitioner that has been practicing for some time, not just for like a few days, that is responsible. Make sure you look for someone that has the client's best interest at heart, someone that is not using their own energy to do the work. That is not what you do. Someone that has good practices, even practices Reiki on themselves, you know, healing for themselves. You know, how do they vibe with you? Like, do you feel good being around them? If you do, then that's a great sign. If you feel kind of crappy, if you feel suspicious, you know, run fast. I don't know. So I would definitely recommend it. I would recommend it. But again, you don't have to go that route. There are so many other things you can do to tap into your abilities. And, you know, if you guys want more specifics, make sure you let me know and I will, I'll holla at you. For tonight, you guys, that is our episode. That's our Q&A episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. That was, there were a lot more questions than I remember finding. So, and I know there's a lot more out there. If you guys want more Q&A episodes, I can do these a little more regularly, maybe, you know, a couple times a year, whatever. I don't know. We'll see. But if you guys have any questions, make sure that you let me know. You can email them to me or DM those questions to me. Either way, it doesn't matter. I do hope that you guys enjoyed this behind the scenes content as much as I did. This was actually a lot of fun to do, and I have wanted to do this for a long time. and just kept putting it off and moving it down on the calendar. So I'm glad I finally did it. It was such a blast. Thank you guys so much for joining me for another Can't Miss episode and tuning in week after week. I love you guys so much. I say it every week, but I super duper mean it. You guys mean everything to me, and I wouldn't be here without you. That is true. Don't forget to hang with me on Twitter and Snapchat at Media Matters and on Instagram and Facebook at The Media Matters, where I show you guys even more love. Turn on those notifications and be sure to tag me in your Media Matters post for a special shout out. Want to shop with me? Find my store at amazon.com/shop/Media Matters and do what I do, shop. Feeling spooky? Send your real life ghost stories to themediamatters@gmail.com, via DM on one of the show's social media pages, or leave your ghost story on the show's voicemail at 850-203-0118. Want the VIP treatment all the live long day? Join our kick-ass Patreon family and be part of the fun. Find us at patreon.com/themediamatters and join us today and forevermore. Are you liking the show? Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review this and other podcasts you're loving. Your ratings and reviews help support the show and make it easier for others to find your faves. Want $10 off your personalized tarot reading? Contact our friend Shay on Instagram at The Ornery Oracle or via email at orneryoracle731@gmail.com. Let her know which episode of The Media Matters you listened to that included the $10 off special, and the discount is all yours. It is that easy. And I will make sure that I link Shay's contact info in the show notes for you. With that, you guys, it is a wrap. We're back next week with an all-new episode of The Media Matters. Same bat time, same bat channel, same kick-ass October, and last week of October. Until then, may your days be supernatural and extraordinary. Good night, you guys.